Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
We're going to talk about Paraguay, another Wikipedia extravaganza, and it's come from two directions. One is that I began to look at Guadeloupe, which is a part of France, but part of the Caribbean. It's got all its complex history with the Guadeloupian being equivalent to someone in Mozart. They're scarf wearing, which means various aggressive things or different things that they can wear scarves on their head. Whereas apparently the way they wear a scarf, and people says, well, that's a firefighter, amazingly. And then they've got the voluminous skirts, which seem to be just a sign of Panama and all that type of stuff like that. Then they were, this Guadeloupe was owned by Sweden for a very short period of time. So this is interesting. And then I got told off for reading Wikipedia and believing anything in Wikipedia. So I thought, oh, well, let's go even further. I was looking at maps again. Flags. Over 50 flags now, which are the same. One of the flags which are the same is the Netherlands, the Paraguayan, and the Croatian flags are pretty much the same, except the Paraguay flag is got this particularly amazing thing in the centre. It's got a little seal in the centre of it on one side, and the seal's got a star. And then on the reverse side, instead of having a star in the centre of its a star, it's actually got a lion. So it's, you know, it's got me fascinated on so many different levels. And the fact that it's a landlocked country, people know of it, but know very little of it in Australia because it's not connected to anything. So it's a landlocked country. And generally, we know a bit about Bolivia being very poor and the flutes and the pan flutes of it. What's the story of Paraguay? It pretty amazing country tucked away in the centre of South America. Well, South America is bigger than Australia. In fact, Brazil is bigger than Australia. So even a single country in South America is bigger than Australia. So it's pretty amazing to understand. So let's try and read it. And you've always got the image of the conquistadors and the Jesuits, and obviously there's rivers which go into it. So it's just really fascinated me, particularly the flag. In terms of the flag, it's so similar, or looks identical to the Dutch flag, which I suppose, I don't know which came first, but the fact that it's the only asymmetric flag. On one side it's got a star, on the other side it looks like some sort of lion. Let's go and look at Paraguay. Paraguay, P-A-R-A-G-U-A-Y. Officially the Republic of Paraguay, and it's got a Spanish, a República del Paraguay, is a country in South America. It is bordered by Argentina in the south and southwest, Brazil in the east and northeast, and Bolivia to the northwest. Although it's one of only two landlocked countries in South America, the other is Bolivia, the country has coasts, beaches, and ports on Paraguay and Panama River. Well, that's a new thing to me. It's got rivers and ports. Oh, they give exit to the Atlantic Ocean through the Paraguay waterway. Due to its central location in South America, sometimes referred to as the Corazón de South America, or the heart of South America. So it's actually got ports and beaches. Gosh. A landlocked, this is a bit like, Canberra has a port and a beach. It's got, I've forgotten the name of the, it's gone, totally gone from my head, Nelson Bay. It's got, is that Nelson Bay? Yeah, it's a large bay with Commonwealth land. So it's got, well, there you go. Isn't that amazing? You only have to read it carefully. Spanish conquistadors arrived in 1524 after navigating northward from Rio de la Plata, means the silver, to the Parana River. River. And finally up the Paraguay River. In 1537, they established the city of Ascension, which is the first capital of Governorate de Paraguay de Rio de la Plata. Paraguay was a centre of Jesuit missions, where Guarani people were educated and introduced to Christianity, to European culture, under the direction of the Society of Jesus and Jesuit Reductions, mainly from the 17th century, under the direction of however, after the expulsions of the Jesuits from the Spanish territories in 1767, Paraguay increasingly became a peripheral colony with few urban centres and settlers. Following independence from Spain at the beginning of the 19th century, Paraguay was ruled by a series of authoritarian governments who generally implemented nationalist, isolationist and protectionist policies. Well, I don't know what the US are getting at the moment. This period ended with the disastrous Paraguayan War, which the Paraguay lost at least 50% of its pre-war population and around 25-33% of its territory to the Triple Alliance of Argentina, Brazil and Uruguay. So Uruguay, I think, is the is Bolivia further up, and Uruguay is further down towards the sea. But it's not bordered by it. It's bordered by Argentina, Brazil and Bolivia. Afterwards, the country entered a period of military dictatorship, ending in the 35-year reigns of Alfredo Stroessner that lasted until he was toppled in 89 by an internal military coup. This is the beginning of the, quote, democratic era of Paraguay. So that's your real banana republic, I suppose. With around 7 million inhabitants, Paraguay is a founding member of MERSCOR, an original member of the United Nations, the original Organization of American States, the Non-Aligned Movement, and the Lima Group. Also, the city of LUQE in Asuncion's metropolitan area is the seat of the CONMEBOL, whatever that means. The Guarani culture is very influential, with more than 90% of the people speak different forms of the Guarani language in addition to Spanish. Paraguayans are known as being very happy and easy living, and many times the country has topped the world's happiest place charts because of the positive experience lived and expressed by the population. Well, blood oath. You think Australia would be a happy place for the amount of absolutely stunning health and wealth? Okay. Now, etymology, that's where the word Paraguay comes from. The exact meaning of the word Paraguay is unknown, although it seems to derive from the river the same name. One of the most common explanations, it means water of Paraguay, a native tribe. Another meaning links the Guarani word para and guai, crown, meaning crowned river. A third meaning may be para, river, and gua from water, meaning water that comes from the river, referring to the bog to the north of the country, which is actually in Brazil. Oh, gosh, this it hurts me. Oh, I feel so sad Paraguay lost some money, some land in a disastrous battle. Okay. Oh, their GDP per capita is the 100th in the world, $14,000 per person. The indigenous Guarani had been living in eastern Paraguay for at least a millennium before the arrival of the Spanish. Western Paraguay, the Gran Caco, was inhabited by nomads, of whom the Guaycurú people were most prominent. The Paraguay River was rough, the dividing line between the agricultural Guarani people and the east, the nomadic and semi-nomadic people, to the west of the Gran Caco. The Guaranchi nomads were known for their warrior traditions and were not fully pacified until the 19th century. These indigenous tribes belonged to five distinct language families, which were the basis of their major divisions. Differing language-speaking groups were generally competitive over resources and territories. They were further divided into tribes by speaking language in branches of these families. Today, there are 17 separate ethno-linguistic groups remain. Colonisation. The first Europeans in the era were Spanish explorers of 1516. The Spanish explorer Juan de Salcedo Espinosa founded a settlement in Ascension in 15th of August 1537. The city eventually became the centre of Spanish colonial province of Paraguay. So it was a colonial province of Spain. An attempt to create an autonomous Christian Indian nation was undertaken by the Jesuit missions and settlements in this part of South America in the 18th century, which included portions of Uruguay, Argentina, and Brazil. They developed Jesuit reductions to bring Guarani populations together at Spanish missions to protect them from virtual slavery by Spanish settlers and Portuguese slave raiders. The Banderitanes, in addition to seeking their conversion to Christianity. Catholicism in Paraguay was influenced by the indigenous people. The syncretic religion was absorbed native elements. The reductionists flourished in eastern Paraguay for 150 years until the expulsion of the Jesuits by the Spanish crown in 1767. The ruins of two 18th century Jesuit missions at La Salsma, Trinidad, de la Pena, and the Jesuit de Travanga has been designated a World Heritage Site. My Godfather, that's amazing. In western Paraguay, Spanish settlement and Christianity were strongly resisted by the nomadic Garuku, and other nomads from the 16th century onwards. Most of these people were absorbed into the Metzo population in the 18th and 19th century. So Metzo means that it's a mixed race population. Independence and rule of Franca. Now, anyone called Franco and Francia, you're going to have a bad run with them. Paraguay overthrew local Spanish administration on the 14th of May, 1811. Paraguay's first rule that would be post, Napoleon took Spain. Spain was not doing too well then. Paraguay's first dictator was Joseph Gaspar Rodriguez da Francia, who ruled Paraguay from 1814 till his death in 1840, with very little outside contact or influence. He intended to create a utopian society based on the French theorist Jean-Jacques Rousseau's social contract. Rodriguez de Francia established new laws that greatly reduced the powers of the Catholic Church. Catholicism was then established as a state religion. Well, it was basically a mission, so there you go. And the cabinet forbade colonial citizens from marrying one another and allowed them only to marry blacks, mulattoes, or natives in order to break the power of the colonial era elites and create a mixed race or mestizo society. There you go. He cut off relations between Paraguay and the rest of South America. Because of Francia's resistance and freedoms, Fulgencio Yagueras and several other independence-era leaders from 1820 planned a coup d'etat de Francia, who discovered the plot and had the leaders executed or imprisoned for life. Oh, gee, imagine that. Because that's a huge, still a huge country, I think. The rule, that's just amazing. The rule of the Lopez family. After Francia's death in 1840, Paraguay was ruled by various military officers under a new junta, until Carlos Antonio Lopez, allegedly Rodriguez de Francia's nephew, came to power in 1841. Well, that's a year of this thing. Lopez modernized Paraguay and opened it to foreign commerce. He signed a non-aggression pact with Argentina and officially declared the independence of Paraguay in 1942. After Lopez's death in 1862, power was transferred to his oldest son, Francisco Solano López. The regime of the López family was characterized by pervasive and rigid centralism in production and distribution. There was no distinction between public and private spheres. The López family ruled the country as it would rule a large estate. The government exerted control over all exports. The export of yerba mate, a valuable wood product, maintained the balance of trade between Paraguay and the outside world. Whatever is yerba mate? I've got a new dancing thing which I have to remember. I can't remember what the new dance is. The new Guadalupe dance and yerba mate. I will not forget that one. I know I will forget that. Yerba mate. Paraguay government was extremely protectionist and never accepted loans from abroad and levied high tariffs against imported foreign products. This protection made the society self-sufficient and it also avoided debt suffered by Argentina and Brazil. Slavery existed in Paraguay, although not in great numbers, until 1844 when it was legally abolished in the new constitution. Well, this doesn't seem all that bad, this man, for this time. Francisco Solano López, son of... So that would be a mercantile view. It's interesting how the mercantile view just backfired on various people. It's interesting that Donald Trump's a bit mercantilist. Francisco Solano López, son of Carlos Antonio López, replaced his father as present dictator in 1862, and generally continued the political policies of his father. Both wanted to give international image of Paraguay as a democratic and republican, but in fact the ruling family had almost total control on all public life in the country, including the church and colleges. Well, we've got the Wentworth family in Australia. I think Australia's slightly different from that. Militarily, Carlos Antonio López modernized and expanded the industry of the Paraguayan army and greatly strengthened the strategic defenses of the Paraguayan by developing the fortress Humalta. The government hired more than 200 foreign technicians who installed telegraph lines and railroads to aid expanding steel, textile, paper, ink, and naval constructions, weapons, and gunpowder industries. The Ubique foundry, completed in 1850, manufactured cannons, mortars, bullets of all calibers. River warships were built in the shipyards of Asuncion. Fortifications were built, especially along the upper river and the Grand Chota. Work was continued by his son, Francisco Solano, in terms of the socio-economic development. The country was dubbed the most advanced republic in South America, notably by the British judge and politician Sir Robert Fillmore. According to George Thompson, Lieutenant Colonel of the Engineers of the Paraguayan Army during the prior to and during the war, the López government was a comparatively good one for Paraguay. Probably no other country in the world has life and property been so secure as all Paraguayans during his Antonio López reign. Crime is almost unknown, and when committed, immediately detected and punished. Oh dear. The mass of people was perhaps the happiest in existence. They had hardly to do any work to gain a livelihood. Each family had its house, its hut, its own ground. They planned a few days, enough tobacco, maize, and mandioca for their own consumption, having at every hut a grove of oranges and also a few cows. There were almost enough, there's almost throughout the year, under little necessity. The higher classes, of course, lived more in the European way. Well, I think it's basically a fertile area, but this militarization is worrying me. Oh dear. The Paraguayan War of 1864 to 1870. In October 1864, despite Paraguayan ultimatums, Brazil sided with the Argentine government under General Bartolomé Matra and the rebellious Uruguayan Colorados de General Venco Flores and invaded the Republic of Uruguay in order to overthrow the government at that time, which was under the rule of the Blanco Party, an ally of López, and thus started the Paraguayan War. The Paraguayans, led by Marshal of the Republic Francisco Solas López, retaliated by attacking the Mato Grosso in the 15th of December 1964 and later declare war against Argentina on the 23rd of March 1865. The Blanco government was toppled and replaced by the Colorado government under General Blanco Flores on the 2nd of February 1865, and afterwards the Argentine Republic. The Empire of Brazil and the Republic of Uruguay signed a secret treaty of triple alliance against the Paraguayan government on the 1st of May. So I don't quite get it. I think the Paraguayans came in and toppled the government. The Paraguayans held a ferocious resistance, but were ultimately defeated in 1870 in the Battle of Cerro Corá, where Marshal Santa López was killed in action, refusing to surrender. Reminds me of the other one where they refused to surrender and blew themselves up. But I can't remember. Oh, this kills me. So in Guadalupe, it was their resistance fighters just surrendered themselves on a powder keg and blew themselves up. Isn't that amazing? The real cause of the war, which remains the bloodiest international conflict in the history of the Americas, is highly debated. Wow. Paraguay lost 25-33% of its territory to Argentina and Brazil, was forced to pay enormous war debts and to sell large amounts of national properties in order to restore the internal budget. But the worst consequences of the war was the catastrophic loss of population. At least 50% of the Paraguayans died during the conflicts and took long decades for the country to recover. About the disaster suffered by the Paraguayans at the outcome of the war, William D. Rubinson wrote, "The normal estimate is that the Paraguayan population was somewhere between 450,000 and 900,000, and only 220,000 survived the war, of whom only 28,000 were adult males." So I think this is, they totally killed everyone. During the pillaging of Alsacian in 1869, the Imperial Brazilian Army packed up and transported the Paraguayan National Archives to Rio de Janeiro. Brazil's records of the wars have remained classified. This made Paraguayan history of colonial and early national periods difficult to research. So, far out. Gee, that's impossible to understand. Gosh, Europe was at war and Napoleonic Wars and stuff like that. 20th century. In 19th, so Brazil's got blood on its hands, it looks like. In 1904, the liberal revolution against the Colorados broke out. The liberal rule started a period of great political instability. Between 1904 and 1954, Paraguay had 31 presidents, most of whom were removed by office by force. Conflicts between the factions and the ruling Liberal Party led to the Paraguayan Civil War of 1922. The unresolved border conflict with Bolivia over the Chaco region finally erupted in the 1930s with the Chaco War. After great losses, Paraguay defeated Bolivia and established its sovereignty over the most of the disputed Chaco region. After the war, military officers used popular dissatisfaction with the liberal politicians to seize power for themselves. On the 17th of February 1936, February Revolution brought Colonel Rafael Franco to power. Not another Franco, my God. Between 1940 and 48, the country was ruled by General Higo Moringo. Dissatisfaction with the rule resulted in the Paraguayan Civil War of 1947. In his aftermath, Alfredo Stroessner began his involvement in a string of plots which resulted in his military coup d'etat in 1954. Gosh, this era, the Stroessner era, which lasted from 54 to 89. A series of unstable governments ensued until the establishment in 1954 of a regime of dictator Alfredo Stroessner, who remained in office for more than three decades until 1989. Paraguay was modernized to some extent under the Stroessner regime, although his rule was marked by extensive human rights abuses. Stroessner and his Colorado Party ruled the country from 54 to 89. The dictator oversaw a theory of economic expansion, but also a poor human rights environment record. Paraguay actively participated in Operation Condor. Torture and death for political opponents was routine. After its overthrow, Colorado continued to dominate national politics to 2008. What? I just don't understand. So they've got now a population of 7 million, do they? But they were down to 28,000 males. Wow. The splits in the Colorado Party in the 1980s and prevailing conditions of Strauss's advance as the character of the regime, the economic downturn, and international isolation were catalysts for anti-regime demonstrations and statements by the opposition prior to the 1988 general elections. My godfather. Sorry, poor Paraguay. So I was just interested in it because it had an asymmetric flag. You know, the flag is different. A star on one side. PLRA leader Domingo Llano served as the focal point for the opposition in the second half of the 1980s. The government effort to isolate Llano by exiling him in 1982 had backfired. On a sixth attempt to re-enter the country, in 1986, Llano returned with three television crews from the US, a former United States ambassador to Paraguay, and a group of Uruguay. So there's Paraguay and Uruguay. Oh, God. And Argentinian congressman. Despite the international contingent, the police violently barred Llano's return. The Strauss regime relented in 1987 and burned Llano to Asunción. Llano took the lead of the organizing demonstration, reducing infighting amongst the opposition party. The opposition was unable to reach an agreement on common strategy regarding the elections, with some parties advocating abstention, others calling for blank voting. The parties held numerous lightning demonstrations, especially in rural areas. Such demonstrations were gathered quickly and disbanded before the arrival of police. It's like a flash mob. So there's Paraguay and Uruguay. Now, but Paraguay, my God, I don't understand this. Paraguay and Uruguay, I don't understand it. Oh, but Paraguay's got beaches. I don't understand it. Oh, okay. In response to the upsurge of opposition activities, Stroessner condemned the accord, advocating sabotage of general elections and disrespect of the law. He used national police and civilian vigilantes of the Colorado Party to break up demonstrations. A number of opposition leaders were imprisoned and otherwise harassed. Hermes Rafael Stranger, another leader of the PLRA, was imprisoned for 4 months in 1987 on charges of sedition. In early February 88, police arrested 200 people attending the National Coordinating Committee meeting of Colonel Orvaldo Lenino, and several other opposition figures were arrested before dawn on the day of the election, 14th of February, and held for 12 hours. The government declared Strauss's re-election with an 89% vote. Well, that's a pretty good vote. The opposition attributed the results in part to the virtual Colorado monopoly on a mass media. They noted that 53% of those polled indicated they were uneasiness with Paraguayan society, 74% that the political situation needed changes, including 45% who wanted a substantial total change. Finally, 31% stated they planned to abstain from voting on the February election. Stroessner's overthrow. My God, he looks ugly. Picture of him here. There's a stamp. Oh, my godfather. In post-1989. In February 89, Stroessner was overthrown by the military coup headed by General Andrés Rodríguez. As president, Rodríguez instituted political, legal, economic reforms and initiated rapprochement with the international community. Reflecting the deep hunger for the rural poor for land, hundreds immediately occupied thousands of acres of unused territories belonging to Stroessner and its associates. In the mid-90s, 19,000 families occupied 340,000 hectares. At the time, 2.06 million people lived in the rural areas, more than half of the 4.1 million population were landless. In the June 1992 Constitution established a democratic system of government and dramatically improved protection of fundamental rights. In May 1993, Colorado Party candidate Juan Carlos Wasmosy was elected president, elected Paraguay's first civilian president in almost 40 years. It was an international observer's deem a fair and free election. With the support from the United States, the Organization of American States and other in the region, the Paraguayan people rejected an April 1996 attempt by the then Army General Lino Overto to oust President Wasmosy. Overto was nominated as the Colorado candidate for president in the 1998 election. However, when the Supreme Court upheld in April his conviction on charges related to the 1996 coup attempt, he wasn't allowed to run and was detained in jail. His former running mate, Raul Cubas, became the Colorado's candidate. He was elected in May in elections deemed by the international observers to be fit and free and fair. One of Cuba's first acts after taking office in August was to commute Overo's sentence and release him. In December 1998, Paraguay's Supreme Court declared these actions unconstitutional. In an intense atmosphere, the murder of Vice President and long-time Overo rival Lucas Maria Arga on 23rd of March 1999 led to the Chamber of Deputies to impeach Cubas the next day. On the 26th of March, 8 students' anti-government demonstrations were murdered, widely believed to have been carried out by Overto's supporters. This increased opposition to Cubas, who resigned on the 28th of March. The Senate President Luis González Marchi, a Cubas opponent, was peacefully sworn in as the president on the same day. In 2003, Nicolás Durante Frutos was elected president. Oh my God, it keeps on going on. Election of Ferdinand Lugo. For the 2008 general elections, Colorado Party was failed but in the polls. Their candidate was Minister of Education Bianca of Ovala, the first woman to be nominated as candidate of a major party in Paraguayan history. After 60 years of Colorado rule, the voters chose Fernando Lugo, a former Roman Catholic bishop and not a professional politician, into civil government, and a member of the authentic radical liberal party, Paraguay's largest opposition party. Lugo was an ardent liberation theology. Lugo achieved a historic victory in Paraguay's presidential election, defeating the ruling party candidate and ending 61 years of conservative rule. Lugo won with nearly 41% of the vote, compared with almost 31% for Bianca Ova of Colorado Party. The ongoing presidential Nicolás Durante Frutos hailed the moment as the first time in the history of the nation that the government had transferred power to opposition forces in a constitutional, peaceful fashion. You need a few goes of not blowing everybody else up. Lugo was sworn in on the 15th of August 2008. Lugo's administration said its two major priorities is reduction of corruption and economic inequality. Political instability following Lugo's election and disputes within the cabinet has encouraged some renewal of the popular support for the Colorado Party. U.S. Reports suggest that the businessman Horacio Cartes became a new political figure amid disputes. Despite the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration's strong accusation against Cartes related to drug trafficking, he continued to amass followers in the political arena. On the 13th of January 2011, the Colorado Party Convention nominated Horacio Cartes as presidential candidate for the party. However, the party's constitution didn't allow it. On the 21st of June 2012, impeachment proceedings against President Lugo began in the country's lower house, which was controlled by his opponents. Lugo was given less than 24 hours to prepare for the proceedings and only 2 hours in which to mount a defense. Impeachment was quickly approved, resulting in a trial in the Paraguay Senate, also controlled by the opposition. Ended with the removal of Lugo from the office and the vice president Frederico Franco assuming the duties of the president. Locals reliable blamed him for the death of 17 people, 8 police officers and 9 farmers, in armed clashes after the police were ambushed by armed presence when enforcing eviction orders against the rural trespassers. Lugo's supporters gathered outside Congress to protest the decision as a politically motivated coup d'etat. And that was it. Was it the in Massachusetts or something up the north there with the poorer farmlands? They closed the courts to stop bankruptcies. I can't quite remember that. I'll have to reread that. The people thought it was not a coup d'etat because it was in accordance with the Constitution. Paraguay. Present day from August 2013, President of Paraguay was Horacio Cartes. Since the 15th of August, the current President of Paraguay is Mario Benitez. I can't give you any of the Latin names or the Spanish names. Paraguay is divided by the Rio Paraguay into two well-differentiated geographic regions: the eastern region, Region Oriental, and the western region, officially Western Paraguay, Occidental. It's also known as the Chaco, which is part of the Grand Chaco. The country lies between latitudes 19 and 28 degrees south, longitudes 54 and 63 degrees west. The terrain consists mostly of grassy plains, wooded hills, eastern region, and to the west mostly low marshy plains. The overall climate is tropical to subtropical, like most lands in the region. Paraguay is only wet, has only wet and dry periods. Winds play a major role in influencing Paraguay's weather. October to March, warm winds blow from the Amazon basin to the north, while the period between May brings cold winds from the Andes. The absence of mountain ranges to provide natural barriers allow winds to develop speed of high as 161 kilometres an hour. This also leads to significant changes in temperatures within a short span of time. Between April and September, temperatures will sometimes drop below freezing. January is the hottest summer month, with an average daily temperature of 28.6 degrees. Rainfall varies dramatically across the country, with substantial rainfall in the eastern portions, semi-arid conditions in the far west, and the far eastern forest belt receives an average of 170 centimetres of rain, while eastern Chaco typically receives 50 centimetres of rain. The rain in the west tends to be irregular and evaporate quickly, contributing to the aridity of the area. Government and politics, my godfather. Paraguay is a representative democratic republic with a multi-party system and a separation of powers into three branches. The executive power is exercised solely by the president, who is the head of state and the head of government. Legislative power is vested into two chambers of the National Congress. The judiciary is vested on tribunals and courts of civil war, with 9-member Supreme Court of Justice, all of them independent, executive and legislative. That's quite good, isn't it? Military. The military of Paraguay consists of Paraguayan Army, Navy, including Naval Aviation, Marine Corps and Air Force. Because Paraguay's got a port. This is just... it's blowing my mind. How does it... it's landlocked. How does it have a navy? I just don't understand. Paraguay has compulsory military service for all 18-year-old males, and 17-year-old in their 18th birthday is liable for 1 year of active duty. I don't know. Although the 1992 Constitution allows for conscientious objective, no enabling legislation has yet been approved. In July 2005, military aid from the U.S. Special Forces began arriving at Paraguay's Marshall Air Base, a sprawling compact base, in 1982. In 2017, Paraguay signed the UN Treaty of the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons. Not too late. Paraguay consists of 17 administrative subdivisions. Paraguay consists of 17... I was really trying to go. You know what? That thing I was trying to remember before has totally gone from my head. Perhaps I should write things down. Paraguay consists of 17 departments and one capital district. It is also divided into two regions, the Occidental and the Oriental region. There are departments with their capitals, populations, and areas These are the departments. So they're going to give me a list through there. So you can see. Now, I just can't see. It's completely, there's Bolivia, Brazil, and Argentina all around it. And it's got some quite amazing rivers. It's on one side of a river. And the population, total population, the total population is 7 million, but each one is 500,000, and there's some areas which have got very large areas in it. So the departments are further divided into four districts. So there's district capitals and different. Look, I really can't quite understand. Asuncion is a district capital. It's got a capital territory. The capital territory is relatively small. So the capital territory is 117 square kilometres, and everything else is, 18,000 square kilometres and beyond. I see, so that's sort of understand. I just can't. It's just beyond me. I can't see how it's got a river and marines. Between 1917 and 2013, the country had the highest economic growth in South America, the average of 7.2% per year. In 2010 to 2013, Paraguay experienced the greatest economic expansion in South America. GDP growth rate of 14 to 13%. In 2005, the International Monetary Fund explained that less than 10% of the workers in Paraguay participate in the pension system, 90% which is administered by two institutions. Both are financed on a pay-as-you-go system by worker contribution. The first Instituto Provisional Social is for private sector employees, and the Caso Fiscal for public employees, including university professors, teachers, judicial employees, army officers, police officers, and veterans of the Chaco War and their descendants. I'm a bit confused by the Chaco War. 100% of Paraguay's electricity is produced by hydroelectricity, making it one of the cleanest in the world. Paraguay has installed electrical production power of 8 gigawatts, producing 63 billion kilowatts per year, kilowatt hours per year. The domestic consumption is just 15. The excess production is sold to Brazil, Argentina, and Uruguay, making Paraguay the world's largest exporter of electric power. The production is from two large hydroelectric power projects along its borders, including the Tipitu Dam, the world's second largest generation station. Paraguay is the sixth largest soybean producer in the world, second largest stevia, second largest producer of tung oil, whatever tung oil is, the sixth largest exporter of corn, the tenth largest exporter of wheat, and the eighth largest exporter of beef. So it's a powerhouse. The market economy is distinguished by a large informal sector featuring re-export of imported consumer goods to neighbouring countries, as well as activities of thousands of micro-enterprises and urban street vendors. Nonetheless, over the past 10 years, the Paraguayan economy has diversified dramatically, with energy, auto parts, clothing industries leading the way. Go Paraguay. I want to live in Paraguay now. Wow. But it's still got a low GDP. I can't quite understand it. There's a bit of a mystery. The country also boasts the third most important free commercialized zone in the world. Cur del Este, trailing behind Miami and Hong Kong. The largest percentage of the population, especially in rural areas, derives its living from agricultural activities, often on a subsistence basis, because of the importance of an informal sector. Accurate economic measures are difficult to obtain. The economy grew rapidly between 2003 and 2013 as the growing world demand for commodities combined with high prices and favourable weather to support Paraguay's commodity-based export expansion. In 2012, Paraguay government introduced the MESCOR system in order to stimulate the economy and job growth through partnership through Brazil and Argentina. The mineral industry of Paraguay produces 25% of the country's gross domestic product and employs 31% of the labour force. Production of cement, iron ore, steel occurs commonly through Paraguay's industrial sector. The growth of the industry was further fueled by the Macula industry, with large industrial complexes located on the eastern part of the country. Paraguay put in place many incentives aimed to attract industries into the country. One of them was the so-called Macula law, by which companies can relocate to Paraguay enjoying minimal tax rates. The pharmaceutical industry, Paraguayan companies now meet 70% of the domestic consumption has begun export drugs. Paraguay is quickly supplanting foreign suppliers and meeting the country's drug needs. Strong growth is also evidenced in the production of edible oils, garments, organic sugar and meat processing and steel. In 2003, manufacturing made up 13.6% of the GDP and the employment sector grew by 11%. The working population in 2000, Paraguay's primary manufacturing focus is on food, beverages, wood products, paper products, hides, and furs, and non-metallic products as contribute to manufacturing totals. Steady growth in the manufacturing GDP in the 1990s, which is 1.2% annually, laid a foundation in 2002 to 2003 when the annual growth rate rose by 2.5%. Well, Australia's always had 4% growth rate, so and we're not doing too much. I mean, we're just laying around installing robots everywhere. Social issues. Very positive estimates suggest that 30 to 50% of the population is poor. In rural areas, 41.2% people lack a monthly income to cover the basic necessities. Whereas the urban centres, the figure is 27.6%. The top 10% of the population holds 43.8% of the national income, or the lowest 10 has 0.5. The economic recession has worsened the income inequality, and notably in rural areas, where the Gini coefficient has risen from risen from 0.56 to 6.6 in 1999. The more recent data shows that 35% of the Paraguayan poor, 90% which live in extreme poverty. Moreover, 71% that have lived in the rural area of the country. Similarly, land concentration in the Paraguayan countryside is one of the highest in the globe. 10% of the population controls 66% of land, while 30% of the rural people are landless. The immediate aftermath of the 1989 overthrow of Stroessner, that 19,000 rural families occupies hundreds of thousands of acres of unused land formerly held by the dictator and its associates by the mid-1990s, but many rural poor remain landless. This inequality has caused a great deal of tensions between the landless and the landowners. Literacy, extremely low amount of Paraguayan indigenous population have a literacy rate of 51% compared to 71% rate of the general population. All right. Only 2.5% of Paraguay's indigenous population have access to clean drinking water, and only 9.5% have electricity. Oh dear. You can see what's going on there. Paraguay's population is distributed unevenly through the country. The vast majority of people living in the eastern region, near the capital of the largest city, Asunción, which accounts for 10% of the country's population. Grand Chocón region, which includes Alto Paraguay and Brocken and President Hayes' department, whatever that means, accounts for 60% of the territory. It's home to less than 2% of the population, while 56% of Paraguayans live in urban areas, making Paraguay one of the least urbanized area nations in South America. For most of its history, Paraguay has been the recipients of immigrants owing to its low population density, especially after the demographic collapse resulted in the Paraguayan War. Small groups of ethnic Italians, Germans, Russians, Japanese, Koreans, Chinese, Arabs, Ukrainians, Poles, Jews, Brazilians, Argentinians have also settled Paraguay. Around 40% of the total Paraguayan population has some Italian descent. What? Paraguay has also been a haven for communities persecuted for religious faiths, like the Burdrahof, who have their language and cultures, particularly So who were forced to leave England in 1941 because of their pacifist beliefs. What? I want to find out what the bird off like this. All these things. Oh, what's the bird off? And many of these communities have retained their languages and cultures, particularly the Brazilians, who represent the largest and most prominent immigrant population, around 400,000. Many Brazilian Paraguayans are German, Italian, Polish descent. They are estimated at 63 Afro-Paraguayans, comprising 1% of the population. There's no official data on the ethnic composition of Paraguayan population, as the Department of Statistics, Surveys and Census of Paraguay does not ask about race or ethnicity in the ethnic surveys, or does inquire about the indigenous population, although according to the census of 2002, the indigenous population makes up 1.7% of Paraguay's total population. Isn't that amazing? Okay, my God. So, I've got to find out that Bergenhof population. Oh my God. Traditionally, the majority of Paraguayan population is considered mixed mestizo in Spanish. Polymorphism studies have shown genetic distance between Paraguayans and Spanish populations were closer than between Paraguayans and Guaranis. Together, these results suggest the predominance of Spanish genetics in the Paraguayan populations. According to the 2019 revision of the world's population prospects, Paraguay has a population of just under 7 million. 95% are mestizo or white, and 5% are labelled as other, which includes members of the indigenous tribal groups. They're divided into 17 distinct ethno-linguistic groups, many of which are poorly documented. Paraguay is one of the most predominant German communities in South America, with 25,000 German speaking Mennonites living in the Paraguayan Chaco. German settlers founded several towns: Hauptnau, Vilfalda, Newfoundland, Obligo, and Nouvelle Germania. Several websites promote German migration into Paraguay, claiming that 5 to 7% of the population is of German ancestry, including 150,000 people of German Brazilian descent. Religion. Christianity, particularly Roman Catholicism, is the dominant religion in Paraguay. According to the 2002, 89% of the population are Catholic, 62% are evangelistic Protestant, 1.1% identified with other Christian sects, 0.6% practice indigenous religion. The United States Department of Reports, a U.S. State Department report on religious freedoms names Roman Catholicism, Evangelical Protestantism, Mainline Protestantism, Judaism, Orthodox, Conservative and Reform, Mormonism and Baha'i Faith as predominant religious groups. Oh, it also mentions a large Muslim community in El Tulpana as a result of Middle Eastern immigration, especially from Lebanon, a predominant Mennonite community in Basque languages. Paraguay is a bilingual nation. Both Spanish and Guaraní are official languages. Guaraní language is a remarkable trace of indigenous culture that is endured in Paraguay. Guaraní claims its place as one of the last surviving and thriving South American indigenous national languages. In 2015, Spanish was spoken by 87% of the population, while Guaraní was spoken by more than 90%, or slightly more than 5.8 million speakers. 52% of rural Paraguayans are bilingual in Guaraní, while Guaraní is still widely spoken. Spanish is generally given preferential treatment in government, business, media, and education as one of South America's lingua francas. Okay, I just have to... What is that group? I'll have to go and see that group that's expelled to live in Paraguay. Cultures. Paraguay's cultural heritage can be traced to extensive intermarriage between original male Spanish settlers and indigenous Guaraní women. Their culture is highly influenced by various European countries, including Spain. Therefore, Paraguayan culture is a fusion of two cultures and tradition, one European, the other Southern Guaraní. More than 93% of Paraguayans are mestizo, making Paraguay the most homogeneous countries in Latin America. The characteristics of this cultural fusion is extensive bilingualism present today. More than 80% of Peruvians speak both Spanish and indigenous language, Guarani. Chapora, a mixture of Guarani and Spanish, is also widely spoken. This cultural fusion expressed in the arts and is in embroidery and lace making. The music of Paraguay, which consists of lilting polkas, bouncy gallopers, languid guaritas, is played on the native harp. Paraguay culinary heritage is also deeply influenced by cultural fusion. Several popular dishes contain manioc, a local staple crop similar to yuca, known as the cassava root in southwestern United States and Mexico, as well as indigenous ingredients. A popular dish is sopia porraganta, a similar to thick cornbread. Another notable food is chipa, a bagel-like bread made of cornmeal, manioc and cheese. Many other dishes consist of different kinds of cheeses, onions, bell peppers, cottage cheese, cornmeal, milk, seasonings, butter, eggs and fresh corn kernels. In the 1950s and 60s were a time of birth of a new generation of Paraguayan novelists such as José Richard Marzo and Ruth Veloz, and the Nobel Prize nominee Augusto Roa Bastos. Several Paraguayan films have been made. Inside the family, conservative values predominate. In lower classes, godparents have special relationships with the family, since unusually they are chosen because of their favourable social position in order to provide extra security for the children. Particularly respect is owed to them, and in return for which the family can expect protection and patronage. Sports. Sport in Paraguay is an important part of the country's national culture. Football is the most popular, basketball also very popular. Other sports such as volleyball, futsal, swimming, tennis is also popular. Additional Paraguayan sports and pastimes are rugby union, chess and motorsports, golf and rowing. Education. Not long now. I've got to really see if I can remember that group which is kicked out. So, education. Literacy is about 93%. And 87% of Paraguayans finished 5th grade. Well, this is a contradiction of what they said about no one can speak literacy. Literacy does not differ by gender. A more recent study reveals that the attendance of primary school children between 6 and 12-year-olds is 98%. Primary education is free and mandatory, takes 9 years. Secondary education takes 3 years. Many universities in Paraguay include lots of them. The average life expectancy in Paraguay is rather high given its poverty. 75 years. Public health expenditure is 2.6% of GDP, while private health expenditure is 51.6%. Infant mortality is 20 per 100,000 birth. Maternal mortality is 150 per 100,000 live births in 20,000. The World Bank has helped the Paraguayan government reduce the country's maternal and infant mortality. The Mother and Child Basic Health Insurance Project aimed at contributing to reducing mortality by increasing the use of selected life-saving services, including the country's Mother and Child Basic Health Care Insurance Program. By women of childbearing age, the child under age 6 is selected areas. To this end, the project is targeted to improve the quality of efficiency of health services network within the areas, in addition to increasing the Ministry of Public Health and Social Welfare. There you go. Then they have the flag. So I suppose perhaps Paraguay is fascinating in terms of it still hasn't given me. They've got a navy and marines, compulsory service. They've got the Dutch flag with a surprise on it. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.